It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is Lisa Kelly. She is an author, a prolific author indeed, and has penned 5 books on Notre Dame football. We're going to be talking about one of those, Echoes from the End Zone, The Men We Became. She contributes a weekly column to One Foot Down and also SB Nation and provides comprehensive coverage of Notre Dame football during this season. In 2012, Lisa was crowned the biggest fan of the Big East in a blogging and social media contest representing Notre Dame. We're going to be talking Irish football, but we'll also get into the life of Lisa right here on Blessed to Play. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this is quite an endeavor. 25 athletes, football players. You're a graduate of Notre Dame. And what's interesting about them all is that how they contributed to society, their family, after they were these prominent football players at Notre Dame. So first off, why did you decide to write the book and why so passionate about Notre Dame football?
Sure. Well, I am a graduate of Notre Dame and so is my dad. So that was a big part of, you know, my passion for Notre Dame football. But when I was in the contest for biggest fan of the Big East Conference, I noticed that a lot of people, especially the media, tend to focus on the negative things that athletes do. So you're going to see all these salacious headlines about an athlete who, you know, got a DUI or some domestic violence situations. And I started this column on my blog because I wanted to focus on the positive things that student athletes and athletes do in their lives. And there's so many positive stories about all the contributions that athletes make in their communities, you know, as they're playing professional sports and beyond. And so that's kind of how I started writing the articles on my blog, which eventually became the first book.
And we're going to be talking about one of those athletes, Devon McDonald, in a little bit. But I want to talk about the Notre Dame philosophy, if you will, especially in the athletic department, about pursuing athletic excellence, but also academic excellence as well. And there was a guy by the name of Mike DeSico. He was the chief academic advisor of student athletes and under Vice President Father Joyce and then President Father Hesburgh. He had a vision that excellence in athletics wasn't good enough. If you, you know, Mike's methodology caught on, it would be kind of the benchmark for the NCAA college landscape, if you will. And in fact, Notre Dame became the first school ever to win a national championship while graduating all of their players. So academic excellence was at the forefront along with athletic excellence as well.
For sure. I mean, if you look at the word student athlete, student is the first part of that, you know, and I feel like Notre Dame really makes an effort to make sure that they're students first. You know, you're in college to get an education, and then the athletics is an integral part of that, but that's secondary to getting an education.
Now, on this show, I just want to take a moment to, I've interviewed many Notre Dame athletes and also coaches as well, some of whom I've called my friends, and I noticed that they're very balanced in life. They go on from Notre Dame and contribute, obviously have good families and they contribute to society, and we're molded with a sort of virtue that and the Notre Dame way, if you will, and they take that with them in their lives when they leave Notre Dame. Well, one of the athletes in your book, Lisa, is Devon McDonald. What a football player, huh? He was an honorable mentioned All-American. He was Jamaican by descent by way of New Jersey. And from what I understand, he never really, he heard of Notre Dame, but really wasn't really fond of it for any special reason. But Lou Holtz got a hold of him, and he decided to go to South Bend.
Absolutely. It's amazing how many of these young men that Lou Holtz showed up in their family's living room and, you know, they were mesmerized by, you know, his philosophy and what he offered them. You know, a lot of these kids came from, you know, lower income and didn't have a lot of things. And Lou Holtz promised them an education that would, you know, take them further in life and get them out of the situations they were in. You know, they talk a lot about 4 for 40, right? Mm-hmm. He told them, you give me 4 years, mm-hmm. come here, get an education, play football, and this will take you through the next 40 years of your life. And it's incredible how much a part he still is of all of their lives. You know, they get together with him multiple times a year, and, you know, he really did change so many lives.
Well, speaking of Devon, he had a faith element to him. In fact, he was part of this group called Sports World Ministries. He went on to be a minister and a youth director, but very character-driven. He was a team captain. But what stands out in your mind when you wrote about Devon McDonald?
I mean, Devon really took his, you know, faith and virtues and morality and turned it into his career. And I think so many of these guys, you know, want to give back, right? They've seen what the university did for them. And I think the university really shows them and all the students while you're there, like, we did volunteer work in the community. It was just kind of part of life as a student at Notre Dame. And so he really took that. And then in his job with Sports World Ministry, you know, he shares his personal experiences with students to show them that there's consequences in your actions, and that, you know, if you make good choices and surround yourself with good people, you know, that will lead to success in life.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer. We're chatting today with Lisa Kelly. She's the author of the book Echoes from the End Zone, The Men We Became. It's 25 football players in this book from Notre Dame. And Lisa, I have to ask you, 25, so many great players that played at Notre Dame. How did you pick 25 to put in your book?
So when I started this, I started with guys that I knew that played football mm-hmm. when I was there. So my first interview was Oscar McBride, who's a dear friend of mine. And then I went on to Rick Meyer, who was the quarterback when I was there. And, you know, I had a sphere of people that I knew, but then I got to a point where I'm like, okay, I need to get out of this bubble, you know? And so I asked the guys, hey, who can you introduce me to? And that was kind of how I expanded my circle. And I really felt like if I, you know, did a good interview with somebody, I made sure to take good care to tell their story, that they would, you know, trust me and be open to recommending me to someone else. And, you know, at this point, I think I've interviewed over 80 athletes. So I guess I did okay, you know.
Absolutely. And we have some of those in common. Oscar McBride was a guest on the show, as well as Lou Holtz. And I want to get back to Lou because I, you know, obviously what he contributed on the football level to Notre Dame was excellent, but there's so much more for what he did for the players and the work ethic and what he taught them each and every day. Maybe you could give some insight. You know, a contributor to your book, you had a chance to talk with him. What stands out about Lou going beyond the national championship, about just building character for the team and for the players in your book?
I think one of the most important things that Coach taught these guys was the value of preparation. Mm-hmm. You know, he taught them that you can never be too prepared. He used to take them in these Friday night sessions where he would have them all lying on the floor in a room with the lights low, and he would literally walk them through the whole game. Okay, we're going to kick off the ball, and this person's going to receive, and this is going to happen next. And, you know, the guys talk about, they kind of thought this was kind of crazy, you know, this like visualization. But crazily enough, so many times they'd be like, well, Coach said this was going to happen. And then the next day, that's exactly what happened, you know. And talking about preparation, when they played the 88 championship game, he made them practice the night before how to celebrate, because he wanted to make sure that everyone was ready, right? Like, mm-hmm. when we get there and we win this, we need to know how to act appropriately to represent ourselves, the team, and the university. And even today, you know, they talk about Lou Holtz time. It's like, if you're on time, you're late. If you're 15 minutes early, you're on time. And if you showed up to a meeting, a Coach Holtz meeting late, he'd lock the door and you were locked out, you know. And it's amazing. Anytime I'm anywhere with these guys, they're always early, you know. I feel like that's another thing that Coach really ingrained in these guys.
Now, when you, these 25 athletes, and when you're interviewing them, did any one athlete stand out and surprised you with something and that you didn't know about them, or said, wow, their backstory perhaps? Is there any one athlete that stands out in your mind?
I think almost all of them had something that I was shocked, surprised, impressed. You know, I mean, these guys, I always do my homework, right, before I interview somebody. So I feel like I have a pretty good understanding going into an interview. And then I usually try to reach out to one of their friends to get a tidbit of information that maybe no one else knew, so I can kind of break the ice. But I would always walk out of an interview just feeling so inspired about how wonderful all these men are, you know, and how much they take care of their communities and their families. It's just really been a joy to write all these stories and to share some positivity into the world.
You know, one thing we don't hear about after a Notre Dame football player graduates, some of them go on to the pro ranks, obviously. But talk about that family type of unit, that networking, that bond that they form with each other. I'm sure this goes on for the rest of their life, and a lot of them, maybe there's reunions. Could you add some light into that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the guys who played under Coach Holtz, they started a foundation called the Holtz's Heroes Foundation. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when they started it, it was just like, hey, let's get together and have reunions. But Coach Holtz kind of put his foot down and said, okay, this is great. I want you guys to stay in touch. But if we're going to do this, we're going to do some good with it, right? And so they have a community service aspect of the foundation. They have scholarships. They take care of, you know, we've had several guys from this era who've passed away. Mm-hmm. So they do a good job of taking care of those kids and make sure that they get an education. And so they're really kind of carrying on Holtz's philosophy of trust, love, commitment. That's kind of their mission and everything they do with the foundation. You know, yes, they want to keep in touch with each other, but they want to be doing good. You know, let's be a force for good in the world. And if we're going to put it under Holtz's name, you know, we should be doing good things.
Indeed. All right, we're going to step aside, and on the other side, we're going to talk more with Lisa Kelly, author of the book Echoes from the End Zone, The Men We Became, when Blessed to Play returns right after.
Hi, I'm Doug Keck. This is an EWTN Bookmark Brief. Speaking with my great friend, Father Joseph Mary Wolfe, MFVA, about a new book published by EWTN, Mother Angelica Talks It Over, and it's from Mother Angelica's television show of the same name. So tell me, Father, what's the message do you think Mother was trying to get across in this series of programs related to this book?
You know, she's talking to high school kids, at least on one of the programs, but I think several of the programs here in the garage studio. A lot of it, she's talking about how they too are called to be holy, to grow in holiness, to stand tall when they've got peer pressure telling them all these different things. Mm-hmm. And yet, how they need to bring, even in their high school life, bring Jesus into everything.
Father Joseph Mary Wolfe, Mother Angelica Talks It Over, published by EWTN proudly, available naturally through our EWTN religious catalog, EWTNRC.com for all things Catholic and all things Mother Angelica. I'm Doug Keck. This has been a Bookmark Brief. Thanks for stopping by. We'll see you next time.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer, joined today by Lisa Kelly, the author of Echoes from the End Zone, The Men We Became. We talked in the first half of the show about one of those football players in her book, Devon McDonald, but also about Coach Lou Holtz and how he affected so many lives while coaching in South Bend. But we know that faith is at the forefront of Notre Dame. It's been termed Our Lady's University. Of course, there's Touchdown Jesus. But being a student there is quite an experience on the spiritual level as well. And Lisa, you have a very interesting journey, if you will, with your faith life. You're a convert. I'm going to let you talk about that, but I know your mom raised you Lutheran, and then you went to Notre Dame, and you converted to Catholicism.
Yeah. So growing up, you know, my mom is Lutheran, my dad is Catholic. At that time, my dad really wasn't going to church, so my mom kind of took over my faith development. My dad's family, they owned Kerner's Catholic Bookstore in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So I got a lot of exposure to Catholicism when I would go visit the family in the summers. And then when I got to Notre Dame, you know, I went to my first Mass in the dorm. So, you know, they would have Mass in the dorm at like 10 at night, and you'd go down in your pajamas, and I watched everyone take communion, and I knew that, you know, as a non-Catholic, I couldn't take communion. And I really started learning a lot about Catholicism and the faith. And I just really felt like it was something that really fit me. So after a year of kind of watching and learning, my sophomore year, I decided that the next year I was going to do RCIA. So I told my parents separately because I wanted to get their true reactions to what I was doing. And of course, my dad was very excited and my mom, not so much. You know, she kind of felt like I loved him more because I picked his religion over hers. But I feel like faith and religion is a very personal thing. And, you know, it doesn't matter how we praise Jesus, you know, and God. It's as long as you're doing it, right? So I became Catholic. I took RCIA classes my junior year in college. And when it came time to be confirmed, they did it the weekend before Easter because all the students go home for Easter break. And we walk into the Basilica and Father Joyce and Father Hesburgh were the celebrants confirming us, which just kind of blew my mind. So it was really an awesome experience to, you know, learn about the Catholic faith at a, you know, Catholic institution like Notre Dame. And, you know, I went on my, when I got married, my husband wasn't Catholic. He decided to convert. So I was his sponsor. And then I've sponsored another friend. So I feel like every time I go through it, I learn more things that I didn't catch the first time. So always continuing to learn and grow in my faith.
Yeah, that's quite a journey. And it just shows you the power of the atmosphere at Notre Dame to draw you in and with the sacraments as well. And I know you take your faith and you do so much with it, including writing a children's book, right, about a dog and her adventures around campus during a football Saturday that is rooted in a Bible verse, I think out of Corinthians. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I had always kind of wanted to write a children's book. And then I watched my friend Mike Brown. He wrote a children's book. And I was really kind of inspired, like, okay, I want to do this. And the original story I had, I kind of shifted away from. And I work at Purina, so my pets are a very big part of my life. And I just thought, wouldn't it be cool to write a book about my dog and her adventures at Notre Dame? The squirrels at Notre Dame are kind of notorious for being overly friendly. And so I wove this story about my dog, and she meets a squirrel, and she jumps in the lake and gets in trouble and learns some lessons. And it's all kind of rooted around, you know, this verse in Corinthians about, and now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And, you know, she also learns she's a French dog with an Irish name. It's a French school called the Fighting Irish. So there's lots of parallels that go along. And it truly was a joy to write it. I had so much fun. I definitely think I will write another children's book. It just was a very different experience than writing nonfiction.
Blessed to play Ron Meyer. Once again, we're chatting with Lisa Kelly. She's the author of the book Echoes from the End Zone, The Men We Became. 25 Notre Dame football players are in this book. It really gives a snapshot of their lives, even beyond football and what they're doing in society, what they went on to do, I should say. And a lot of them were really men of faith as well. Going back to Lou Holtz, even Jerry Faust, faith was very prominent in Notre Dame athletics, and it had a rub off on the players as well. Talk about that atmosphere of faith with in football in particular with those coaches at Notre Dame.
I mean, it's such a great, you know, place for faith and the development of your faith, and to watch the football team go to mass together before a game, and they walk from the church to the stadium, and there's a chaplain that travels with the football team and prays with them. And, you know, even for the students who aren't Catholic, mm-hmm. I feel like they all grow in their faith, you know, based on that environment, what they experience. You know, one of the players in my book, Marv Russell, mm-hmm. he was a theology major, which is super hard. And then he went on to become an ordained minister. So I think people may be surprised at how many of these guys, you know, are men of the cloth, you know, when mm-hmm. they leave Notre Dame. It's a place that really inspires you to, you know, want to continue to grow your faith and to share that with others.
Well, I want to talk about your memories of the football team. I know I think you were there on campus when Notre Dame won a national championship, but just talk about the excitement, the tailgating that goes on before. In fact, my daughter just went this past weekend to a Notre Dame football game when they were playing Texas A&M, and she loves the atmosphere. I mean, the buildup to the game is just incredible. But from your eyes, that had been such a great experience as a student to do that for those home games during the football season.
Yeah, it was amazing. I grew up in Southern California, so moving to South Bend, Indiana was kind of a culture shock. Mm-hmm. But the whole, like, fanfare of a football Saturday, tailgating, and getting to hang out with your friends and meet people, and our parents would come back, and it just really is like a whole day of activities, from watching the marching band, and, you know, you might see a performance of the Glee Club, and it just truly is it's like larger than life to be at Notre Dame on a football Saturday.
The play like a champion sign, obviously everyone wants to touch it, but when you interview these athletes, if you were going to say those words to them, and maybe you did say, what does it mean to you to play like a champion? What are some of the remarks that you might get?
I mean, I think that, you know, they all wanted to represent the university well, mm-hmm. But, you know, you want to play for your teammates, and obviously you want to win every game, you know, and you're never going to win every game. But I think if you head out onto the field with that championship mindset, you're going to win a lot more than you're going to lose.
Talk about what you're doing now, Lisa. I know you're in a part of the country where there's a lot of entertainment. It's beautiful near the Ozarks, but Branson, Missouri, and quite a place where nature is all around you, the beauty of nature is all around you. Tell us about Branson and your life there.
Yeah, so I work for Purina, which is based out of St. Louis, but they let me work remotely. We moved here from St. Louis in 2018. My husband opened a zoo here in Branson, so we have that. We own a restaurant and a 1980s themed attraction, and we have a theater that is live music and shows. So we've really kind of immersed ourselves in this area, and, you know, we do a lot of charity work with the Boys and Girls Club and Make-A-Wish Foundation, and we're always trying to make a difference in our community.
How about a Notre Dame alumni community in Branson? Is there such a thing?
Well, funny you should ask. I just started the Notre Dame Alumni Club of the Ozarks. Okay. So we had our first event this summer. We had a student send-off, and I have my first game watch party this weekend. So I think I've got about 200 people in the area from Joplin, Springfield, and Branson. So we're working on planning some events to kind of get people together and build some camaraderie and continue to grow in our faith.
So you're far from South Bend. So take us through a typical, let's say, Saturday when Notre Dame's playing. What's going on in the Kelly family to prepare to watch a Notre Dame football game?
Well, I'm probably at Notre Dame half of those Saturdays. I'm up there a lot signing books and meeting with people. But for example, this Saturday, I'll get up, watch College Game Day, and we're doing our game watch party at an Irish pub. So I'll go an hour early and set up. I usually bring my books, and I like to make Notre Dame jewelry. So I'll bring some of my jewelry, and people will show up about 2 o'clock and we'll cheer on the Irish.
Well, Lisa's definitely part of the Notre Dame community, and her book is quite an attraction as well. And once again, it's Echoes from the End Zone, The Men We Became. And Lisa, if our listeners want to get a copy of that book, where could they go?
Sure. I just launched a brand new version of my website, and it's my name. So it's lisaannkelly.com, and that's where you'll find all my writing and my blogs and everything I've got going on.
Well, Lisa, thanks so much for joining us. I'm a Notre Dame football fan, and I, like I said, I've interviewed many NFL football players. In your book, the stories of these 25 athletes are really insightful. Like I mentioned before, not only in their athletic excellence, but what they went on to do in the world after they graduated from the University of Notre Dame. And thank you for sharing some of that with us right here on Blessed to Play.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed2play.com. You can like us on Facebook. Hit us up on the platform X at Blessed to Play. For Lisa Kelly, I'm Ron Meyer. Thanks so much for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed2play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed2play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.